The gale, which had subsided to a faint whisper, began to pick up again as the oxygen tanks across the room flooded more air into the escaping flow. Luke counted out a few more seconds to make sure all of the poison gas had been flushed out, then pulled open the patch and slapped it across the hole. There was a sizzling sound, more felt than really heard in the painfully thin atmosphere. The swirling wind subsided, and he felt the air pressure returning to normal. He looked around the bridge. The Vagari lay across their consoles or in contorted poses on the deck. All were dead. He sighed. Jedi respect all life, in any form. "Snap out of it, Luke," Mara called. "We've still got work to do." Luke focused on her. She was leaning over the helm console, the one Estouche had made such an effort to reach before he died, working feverishly at the controls.
"Right," Luke said.
"What did he do there?"
"Exactly what I thought he would," Mara told him.
"Okay, I caught it in time." She nodded at the viewport. "Now we just have to figure out what we're going to do about that."
Luke turned and looked. During the past few minutes, Estouche's final helm command had continued to drive them toward the Chiss command station. And from their new vantage point, he could see that the defenders were in desperate straits. The Vagari fighters swarming around it were as maneuverable as X-Wings, but with considerably more firepower, and they whipped around the base in a complex, dance-like pattern that made them nearly impossible to hit.
"And that's after only a few minutes of combat," Mara murmured. "These guys are good."
"Can this thing still fight?" Luke asked.
"What?
Against ships that small?" Mara countered.
"Not a chance."
Across the bridge, one of the consoles pinged, and a Vagari voice began speaking faintly from its speakers.
"They've spotted us," Mara said. "You have anything you want to say to them?"
"Just a second," Luke said. "No, don't answer. Find me a sensor station and tell me what's happening with the Vagari carrier." He sensed Mara's puzzlement, but she headed off across the bridge without comment. Luke went the other direction, toward where the weapons consoles were located.
"Got it," Mara called.
"The carrier's in pretty bad shape, actually. Power output minimal. Life support systems minimal. Serious damage to its north and south poles."
"Probably where its own heavy weapons were," Luke said with satisfaction.
"I was hoping the Chiss had gotten in some good shots before they were surrounded."
"Fine, but that still leaves the fighters," Mara pointed out.
"And us with no weapons."
"We won't need any," Luke assured her.
"Get back to the helm."
He broke off as a stutter of laser fire raked suddenly across the hull just below and forward of the bridge.
"What the?" "Chiss fighters," Mara snapped. "At least 20 of them, coming in from behind."
Luke bit down hard on his lip. He'd had a perfect plan. Only now, here came the Chiss, threatening to ruin it.
"I'll transmit Formby's message," Mara shouted, as another volley stuttered across the hull. "If they believe it."
"No," Luke cut her off.
"No communications to anyone. Get back to the helm and get us an evasive course toward the station."
"What?"
"Luke, don't argue," Luke snapped.
"If we say anything to the Chiss, the Vagari will know we can transmit."
"And that's a problem?"
"We need to look like a ship that can't communicate, where Estouche is still in command."
"Ah!"
He interrupted himself. There it was, nestled between the ion cannon and forward deflector shield consoles. The anti-meteor laser cannon.
"Okay, what was Drask's emergency prefix code again?"
2-1-2, Mara told him.
"And you've lost me completely.
Just cross your fingers."
The Chiss fighters were swinging around for another pass.
Mentally crossing his own, Luke aimed the laser cannon just astern of the group and fired. For a long moment, nothing happened. The fighters completed their turn and regrouped, heading back for another strafing run. Luke fired the pattern a second time, again aiming just wide of the group. They kept coming. He fired a third time. And then they were on him, flashing over the dreadnought's surface, pouring volleys of laser fire into the hull.
Only this time, there were no thuds as sections of hull metal vaporized explosively away. No impacts. No shaking of the ship. No nothing. I'll be a roasted Nerf, Mara breathed. They've cranked their lasers down to minimal power. They figured out the message. And at the same time, we're smart enough not to give the game away to the Vagari, Luke said. Bring our flank around to port side, as if we're running interference for the Vagari. Got it. The view ahead turned, as the huge ship began rotating sluggishly to the left, and Luke shifted his attention to the attacking Vagari. If they reacted the way every other squadron he'd ever served with would react under these circumstances, he caught his breath. In twos and threes, the Vagari were beginning to break off their attack on the station. Keep us between the Chiss and the Vagari. The Chiss are firing again, Mara reported. Again, just for show. Perfect, Luke said, his full attention on the Vagari. They were definitely abandoning the station now, pulling away in an orderly fashion and forming up again as they headed away at full attack speed, moving straight for the dreadnought. Mara had spotted the new maneuver too. Luke? Trust me, he said. Reaching down to his console, he keyed a switch. And deep beneath them, he heard the faint sound of metal grinding against metal as the forward starboard hangar deck doors slid reluctantly open. Across the room, he heard Mara's huff. You're not serious. You really think they'll just... No. Of course they will, Luke said. Remember, their own carrier is wrecked. What else are they going to do? You have got to be the most brazen con artist I've ever met, she said, shaking her head. There we go, Luke said, keying the massive docking bay door closed again. Now we can send that message of Formby's off to the station. I'm sure the Chiss will want to be aboard to help us give the Vagari pilots the bad news. This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Star Wars: Survivor's Quest by Timothy Zahn. This program was produced, directed, and abridged by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars: Survivor's Quest is a production of Lucasfilm Limited. Copyright 2004. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music master production, copyright 2004, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.